Well, it's good to see everybody here on a holiday. I know a lot of people are out of town, but I'm excited to see so many of you guys here. A good friend of mine, Jack Karsten, is visiting us. I've known Jack since before the days of Yes FM, all the way back to my days at WJYM. And Jack is one of the men I've learned from watching Jack. Jack is a man that stands on the Word of God and stands on the promises in all things. So, Jack, thanks for coming. It's always an honor to see you. Appreciate it. When you get a chance before this is done, just say hi to Jack. Clap him on the back and say, thanks for being a man of God. Thanks for being a witness for Todd. All right, so The last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. And we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer because it's Jesus teaching each one of us how to pray. How many times do we go through our lives and we've just never been taught as believers how to pray? So we're learning from Jesus, and whom better to learn from than Jesus Christ himself on how to pray. So today we're going to look at the whole from Matthew. We're going to look at the whole Lord's Prayer. And then we'll focus on the verse that we're looking at today, the one that's key for us today. So we're going to look at it from Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. It says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've been doing this for what, 4 weeks? No, this is week number 6. That's all the farther we've gotten so far. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, and we will forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So we've been looking at this over the weeks, and we've looked at it not just through the first two verses that we looked at here, but we looked at the verses that were preparatory to it in both Matthew and in Luke. Those verses that led up to it and gave us more of an insight and an understanding. But our verse today is verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Again, every time I look at these verses, I know I said this last week, I love this verse and what Jesus teaches us from this verse. For me, the key word in this verse is the word bread. So let's look at bread a little bit. To give a definition from the Greek for what the word bread means. Bread means everything and anything that gives sustenance to the body, with bread being the principal thing. So bread is that which gives us sustenance for our daily life in our bodies. So what is it that we require? What is the sustenance that we need daily in our lives? What is the daily bread that we need? What's the daily bread that Jesus is talking about here? Jesus is talking about himself. He is that daily bread that we require. He tells us this in the book of John. In John chapter 6, verses 33 through 35. It says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall not thirst. In the same way that we need bread for our bodies, we need bread, that natural sustenance to bring life to this natural body. We also need that daily spiritual bread. We need that which gives us spiritual strength and spiritual growth. And Jesus is that bread from heaven. He's that bread for us. I don't know about you guys. I love bread. When you go to restaurants, you know a lot of restaurants give you bread. Sometimes the best part of the meal is the bread that they give you before. Have you guys been to Biagi's? I know you guys have. I realize I talk a lot about food the last couple of weeks. I got more food coming yet this morning, too. But bread is one of those best parts. At Biagi's, I try not to eat bread a lot because I do love it. But at Biagi's, I make an exception because it comes with that little olive oil that they put the pepper in their little stuff. And oh, my goodness, that is so, yeah, Tilly, that's the way I sound when I sit down at Biagi's, just like that. I won't try to, yeah. That I will preach to you, Aaron. So we love those. I mean, how many of you guys love the bread at, like, I always hear people talking about, like, Olive Garden. And I hear the bread that's at Red Lobster. and Texas Roadhouse, although I think Texas Roadhouse because it's, is it the honey butter that comes with it? Is that what makes that so good? All right, so you think about those breads. I love bread. But let me tell you something. As good as bread is, if you just add one component to bread, it makes it better. I mean, for me, it could be the honey butter. For me, you just slap some peanut butter on any kind of bread, and it's already a whole lot better. Because when you add a did you turn your nose up at that, Rose? When you add, it doesn't have to be peanut butter, but when you add anything to bread, it adds depth of flavor to that bread that's already there. I'm getting Tilly excited about bread. My mouth is watering a little bit too. So Jesus is, every day, Jesus is our bread of life. He's the bread that we have every day. But every day, Jesus adds the depth. Now think about this. He adds the depth of himself. There's always more components that he adds personally. It's the depth of himself. It's the revelation of himself that he will show and share with each one of us personally and intimately when we spend the time in the Word with him. If we're willing to partake in him by partaking of his bread, by consuming this on a daily basis, every day that I read this, this is the bread. But Jesus wants to show me something more in this bread every day. He wants to give me the depth of himself and the revelation. He will teach you things and show you things that are personal for you, for your life, today when you read the Word. You could have read the same Word the day before. And when you read it tomorrow, it's Jesus revealing himself with a brand new revelation for you. This is the problem with having a lot of notes in your Bibles. They fall out when you're preaching. That's what Jesus does. He is that bread, and he presents himself with depth. It's giving more. Donna and I were in Chicago this past week. What was the name of the restaurant? Do you remember? It doesn't even matter. Some friends of ours took us to a Mexican restaurant. And I'm kind of this way about Mexican restaurants. But they had a sandwich there. It was called something like Torta de Carnitas. I don't know what kind of bread this was on that sandwich. But it was pulled pork with some kind of their sauce on it. Then it had goat cheese on it, something spicy, and apricot spread. Now, I know it doesn't sound good, but I thought about it. I thought all those components by themselves sound pretty good. So I'm guessing they're going to be, they were laughing at me. Because the whole time that we were eating, well, I was eating, I wasn't talking at all, which is pretty unusual for me. So they were laughing because I was so engrossed with that. Now, maybe pulled pork with goat cheese and apricot spread is not the components that you want on your bread. But this is the thing. You know, for me personally, I like that. And Jesus has, for each one of us, something personal, components that he adds. He's the bread. But when you open up the Word, he gives depth. He adds more depth of himself if I will partake of that bread. This is what it says in Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He also needs pulled pork, goat cheese, and apricot spread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So how is it that we eat that bread so that we can take it into our spiritual beings? We eat that bread, obviously, by eating the Word, by consuming the Word, by getting it into ourselves on a daily basis, every single day. You know, in this country, we love eating, as is obvious by the fact that I've already made numerous references here, and we're only 5 minutes in. We love eating. Very few of us in America, we're not willing to miss a lot of meals. 2 weeks ago, I had so many different appointments that I had to have. I had two weeks ago, that I had two lunches. I had a lunch with somebody at noon, and then I had a lunch with somebody else at 1:30. And then dinner with Donna at all. And you know, I was okay with that. It was like a built-in excuse. I was good for that. We should have, we don't miss many meals. We like our natural food, but we should attack the bread of life with that same zeal. We should want that same thing. How many of you, when you leave here on Sundays, go out and get something to eat at a restaurant? Okay, certainly, though, you go home and you get something to eat. I mean, we eat on Sundays, right? All right, so when we go home and we eat on Sundays, that's not the only day of the week that you eat, is it? I mean, I'm gathering you eat Monday through Saturday as well. And yet by the same token, sometimes in our culture, it's easy for us to have the mindset as I get my bread on Sunday and then I'm not eating the rest of the time. We need the bread. We need to have that sustenance, not just for our bodies, but that sustenance for our souls and our spiritual growth every day. I would even put this challenge out to you, and this is going to sound outlandish, but I believe this. As many times as you eat during the day, if you eat three times a day, you should eat the word at least that often. You should consume the word at least that often in your day. It doesn't have to be long. You know, if you just sit and read 8 or 10 verses, you're getting the word of God. You're getting the truth in you. We need to have the same zeal for eating the bread of life as we do in the eating of the bread or providing sustenance for our own bodies. I know it sounds like a hard thing to do, but you know what? I've got in my car, I've always got at least 2 Bibles. I usually have 4 or 5 Bibles in my car. Don't ask me why. There is a reason. But everywhere that I go, I have Bibles with me. I always make sure that since I had 4 lunches in 2 days last week, I always had a Bible with me because if I get there before, I don't want to just sit and wait and stare at the waitress or look at your, when you're used to having somebody with you, sitting and eating by yourself, I don't know where to look. So I always make sure that I have the Bible with me because it's time that I can use. I'm going to eat anyway. Well, I might as well take some sustenance spiritually as well. This is what we need to have the heart for, but it's not something that we're taught, and it's not something that we really emphasize. As many times as you eat in the day, that's how many times, at least, that's how many times you should also be eating the bread of life, eating the word. Now, let's consider this bread from the perspective of how we honor and remember Christ with the bread of communion. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick amongst you, and many sleep. Why is it that so many are weak and sick in the body of Christ? It's because we're not discerning the Lord's body. What does that mean? Well, in other words, it means we're not understanding what the Word of God, we're not understanding what the Lord's body represents. The Lord's body, the bread, represents the Word of God. It represents the Scriptures that we have in front of us and for us. The life, the bread, the life of Jesus Christ for us. It represents the power and the promises of Jesus Christ for my life. If I will eat it, consume it, it will work in me. We don't discern the Lord's body. You see, when we don't discern the Lord's body, when we don't eat the word and take it into ourselves so it can work in us, we become weak. That's just a fact of life. I mean, it's something that should be self-evident, but it's something we don't really think about all that much. This is why I say it's important, imperative for us. Eat the word as many times as you eat in your natural body intake and sustenance. Eat the word. Because that's discerning the Lord's body. If I'm not discerning the Lord's body, I'm then becoming weak. And when I become weak, then I don't get to realize the fullness of the promises and the power of Jesus Christ for my life. If I'm not eating the Word, I need the Word of God every day. And I need a fresh Word of God every day and multiple times throughout the day in my life. Otherwise, I'm becoming weak. Now let's continue looking at this as far as the Lord's table. When we talk about communion, we're talking about, we call it the Lord's table. The Old Testament foreshadowing of the Lord's table was called the King's table. And it's basically what you think. It's the king. It's the table that he has to eat at. It's the food that comes to the king. Guess what the king's table looks like? It's the best of the best. The king has the very best food there is to offer. And the king has the best food. And the king has the best food in abundance at all times. It's the best of the best. It's the king's food. We know the reality is the Lord's table. In other words, when we come to communion, what that's representing to us is all of, it's realizing the fullness of the promises of Jesus Christ for our lives, the fullness of all the things that he has for us. Taking of the daily bread, it's more than just a religious act. It's more than just, you know, when we take the bread at the communion table, it's more than just a religious act. It's more than just doing something rote out of trained responses. It's more than that. It is the actual power and life of the Word of God. It is the fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. Think about this. It's the fresh revelation of Jesus Christ every day for your soul and for your life. How important is that in our lives? It gives you the wisdom that you need every day because it's putting you and giving you the very mind of Christ. It's revealing to you all of the promises, all of the provision that Jesus has made for you. Now, if the bread represents nourishment, it represents nourishment and that which is sustaining to life. There's another Old Testament example that we can learn from about the bread of life. In the Old Testament, we know that during the book of Exodus, God sustained the Israelites in the wilderness with his supernatural bread, the manna. God used that to sustain his children. In fact, God provided manna every single day for the Israelites through all the years of their wilderness wandering. God provided the manna. When the dew came, when the dew fell during the night, the manna fell with the dew. Now again, if we look at the definition for the word manna, I love this. In the Hebrew, manna means, what is it? I love that definition because that's the Israelites saying they have no idea what it is. They don't know what it is, and they don't even have adequate words to describe it. They don't know how to describe it. As is so often the case with the supernatural things of Jesus Christ, it's impossible to describe the supernatural things in any natural words or with any natural wisdom. By the same token, when we try to describe the power of the Word of God, the bread that we're supposed to be partaking of daily, when we try to describe the power of the Word of God in our lives, there is no natural way for us to describe it. But it is the life. It brings life. It's the bread that brings life to our souls every single day. So the manna. The Israelites were told to go out and they were to gather the manna before the sun got too hot. The same thing is true for us. We need to gather the manna. We need to take in, we need to eat and ingest the Word of God before we get into the heat of the battle of our day. You can't wait until you're in the heat of the battle to eat the Word. Get up early, read the Word early, make it a priority for your life early, because it will give you strength throughout the remainder and the entirety of your day for no matter what it is that you're going to face, which you don't know, but the Holy Spirit does. Israelites were also told that they were to gather just enough manna to meet their needs for that day. You can't take manna and use it for leftovers because it's going to rot, it's going to spoil, it's going to become worm-infested overnight. Same thing is true for you and I. We can't just have the word from yesterday. This is why Jesus is teaching us. In this verse we're looking at from the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:11. This is why Jesus is teaching us, give us this day our daily bread. We need bread for life. We need bread every day. We need his word every day of our lives. And we need a fresh word from him every day of our lives. You can't live an overcoming life based on yesterday's word or last week's word or last month's word. That's the way many of us tend to live our daily Christian lives. We need a fresh word. We need fresh manna every single day. And as many times as you eat, eat the word as well. You get the bread when you come here every Sunday or any place you go. You go to church on Sunday, you get the bread. But it's not enough. You need bread every single day of your life. And it's up to you and it's up to me to be responsible to get that bread and to consume that bread in our lives. I need fresh bread every day for my spiritual well-being and ultimately for my physical health and well-being as well. This is why when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, he didn't teach them and say, ask for God to supply bread for you for a year. No, he said, ask for God to supply bread for you for the day. God hasn't changed at all over the years. In the same way that he met the needs of the Israelites every single day that they were wandering, he knows specifically what your needs are tomorrow. You don't. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. But he does. And he's got a word for me. He's got life for me. It's up to me to be the one that consumes it, that eats it. It's up to me to take that step. All right, so there's another manna. There's another bread. This is really interesting. It's another bread. It's a bread that comes between the manna that we saw from God providing that manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. It's a bread that comes between that manna and between the coming of Jesus Christ as the bread of life for us. It's the showbread of the temple. It's the showbread of the temple of the old covenant. Showbread actually means, the word showbread means bread with faces. What does that mean? It's such a cool thing when you think about it. Bread of faces. Faces, and this is what it actually means. Faces as in the face that sees in every direction. It's the face of God that sees everything in your life. It is the face of God that says, this is the face that will show you the way, that will lead you. It's the bread of faces. Now, showbread represents the very presence of God. Now, bread, we know, represents that which is food for life. So think about it. Showbread is the presence of God that we eat. Tell me that's not a tie-in, an example to Jesus Christ, who is the Word, who is the bread of life that we are supposed to be taking every single day in our lives. Showbread is the Old Testament foreshadowing of Jesus Christ as the bread of life. Showbread is that eternal presence of God with man. And more, showbread actually represents, it's the foreshadowing of the Lord's eternal covenant with man through Jesus Christ. That's what the showbread is. I love the fact that we see the bread from manna. We see the bread and its significance in the showbread and what it foreshadows. And then it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is that daily bread of life for all mankind. Now when you read, if you remember a number of months ago when we were looking at the Ark of the Covenant, we were looking at Exodus chapter 25. And Exodus chapter 25 gives us a lot of details on the Ark of the Covenant. If you remember, if you read through that, it's very specific in what kind of wood, and the measurements are all very, very specific. Well, if you also read in Exodus 25, you're going to see that God gives Moses very specific instructions for the tables of the showbread. Now, the showbread is part of what is in the temple. You have the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant is. Then outside of the Holy of Holies, you have 12 tables of showbread, and on each of those 12 tables is showbread. It's bread that represents each of the 12 tribes. And then, of course, there's the candles on the other side. But that is right there. It is in the actual temple of God. Now, when God gives us the instructions on the... This is great. When God gives us the instructions on how the showbread tables are to be built, they are built to an exact height. When the showbread itself is placed on those showbread tables, the showbread itself is the exact height of the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you remember, the mercy seat represents, that's where the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled, Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, the mercy seat, between the wings of the angels and the mercy seat, that's where the presence of God dwelled with men. So here's Jesus Christ, the showbread. Jesus Christ is the bread of life that takes us right into the presence of God in the same way that the showbread is right there at the same height and the same level of the mercy seat. Jesus Christ, it represents Jesus as the one who takes us into the presence of the Lord. And we see that beautifully in this verse, which you hear me say a lot. Ephesians chapter 2, 6. This is from the Amplified Bible. In Ephesians chapter 2, 6, after you go past the Gospels, go past Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you have Galatians and then Ephesians. Ephesians 2, 6 in the Amplified says, "And he raised us up together," he, the showbread, the bread of life, "he raised us up together with him and made us sit down, giving us joint seating with him." We're right there on the same level. We are in those heavenly places with God. "And gave us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere, not spear, sphere." In case you missed it, that's a word I never get right. I always say it wrong. "In the heavenly sphere by virtue," did I say it right? "By virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One." This is showing us what we just talked about. What the showbread is, what Jesus Christ is, the showbread is. Right there, the showbread is the same level of the mercy seat, taking us into the presence of God. This is what Jesus became. We should be taking this bread in every day. It's taking us into the presence of God, so we are seated with him, with Christ Jesus, in the presence of God, in those spiritual realms, in those spiritual areas, joint heirs with Jesus, as Romans says to us. The showbread evidences for us the love that God has had for us and the desire that God has had for us from the very beginning, the desire that God has had to be with us. And it shows us that he made the way for us to be with him through Jesus Christ. The showbread of the temple shows us that God didn't just want to have a place. He wanted this, but he wanted more. He didn't just want a place where he could dwell with and abide with man, which he did. That was the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. More than that, God wanted, he desired a place where man could dwell, intimately abide with him. And that's through Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ, our bread of life. So in all of this that we just looked at, just go back and think. This is what Jesus is teaching us. He's saying, Jesus is teaching us to say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11. I got to fix this. Sorry. It feels really weird. It keeps sliding down my shoulder. I still didn't do it right. If my microphone comes off, just let me know. If it pops off my head, let me know. All right, so let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11. Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now notice, Jesus is instructing us. He's teaching us how to pray for this daily bread. But he gives us very specific instructions on how we're to pray for that bread. He says that we are to say, give us this daily bread. It's an ask. It's asking for something. But it's an ask that's not the normal way we think of asking for something. It is asking for something. It is actually taking possession of something in the authority of Jesus' name. That's what he's instructing us to do. It's an ask, but it's an ask that comes with a claim in the authority of his very name. You know, when you think about the way most of us are taught to come to Jesus in prayer, to come to Jesus asking, and asking is like hoping, wishing, begging that maybe Christ will make provision for us. Remember what we learned last week. Last week we learned that Jesus taught us to pray, and he said to pray, "My kingdom come." We're supposed to be praying with boldness, and we're supposed to be praying with authority when we pray. This is the expectation that he has. That same tone of authority and boldness that you saw in verse number 10 last week, you read it in context, that same tone comes from verse 10 into verse 11. The same tone of taking authority and boldness in how we ask. It's an ask, but it's an ask that comes possessing something in the authority of Jesus' name. We're supposed to come boldly to the throne of glory. We're supposed to come and claim, receive that which Jesus Christ has already provided for us. We're not asking Jesus to do something he hasn't already done. All we're doing is we're laying claim to what Jesus has already readied for you. It's laying claim to it. Does that make sense? Sometimes I think we should just stop and think about it. Because some of these things, I wanted to get into our very hearts, to our souls, the reality of it. I think most of us are familiar with the verse. We probably couldn't maybe find it right away, but we know the verse. James chapter 4, verse 2. Says, you have not because you ask not. Now, a lot of people don't really understand, because this is what that's saying. You have not because you ask not. That's an ask, but it's an ask with authority. It's an ask with the authority of Jesus' name to lay hold of or possess something. It's an ask that comes with the full authority of Jesus' name. It is making, listen to this, it is making a righteous claim. There's a demand that is inherent in the ask. You have not because you ask not. We're not asking from the position of begging, pleading, and hoping. We're asking as laying claim to what is already provided for us in Jesus Christ. Can you see that? And that's the difference in the way that sometimes we pray and the way that we're supposed to pray, and the way that we need to pray. People get confused with that ask, because we look at that ask and we think that it is an ask that is coming from that position of weakness, coming from that begging, pleading, hoping that this is true. But that's not what it is. People get really uncomfortable when you pray to receive something with authority. People get uncomfortable when you pray that way. But this is exactly what Jesus is teaching us to do. People get uncomfortable when we pray with authority to receive, because they would rather that we just ask Jesus, if it be your will, would you do this for me? Listen, we looked at this last week. We know what God's will is because his word tells us what his will is. So if I know the word, then I know his will. If I know his will, then I can ask with authority and I will receive it. Jesus is teaching us with this verse from Matthew. Jesus is teaching us this is the manner in which we are to pray. We are to ask, as in receiving with authority. We're to ask as taking possession of the things that he's already provided for us, of the things that he has for us. If I'm asking meekly, approaching Jesus and saying, Jesus, if it's your will for me to have some of that healing that you provided, could I have some of that healing? I mean, it's silly, but that's the way that we often ask Jesus, because we're asking him, I know what his will is. If I know his will, then I claim it, I receive it, and I take it into myself. Rather than asking Jesus, listen, if I'm asking that way, meekly, then it says, it indicates, I don't know what his promises are. If I don't know what his promises are, how can I operate in faith? I mean, think about it. If I don't know his will and I don't know his promises, where's the faith in my ask? There's no faith there. Jesus can do nothing except through our, he moves through our faith, not through our uncertainty, not through our begging and pleading. Amen? Everybody got quiet when you shouldn't have got quiet there. I make the claim. I make the claim, now listen to this all the way through, because otherwise you're going to get upset. I make the claim demanding what is mine in Jesus Christ, so that no power on the face of this earth keeps me from receiving what Jesus has already provided for me. This is why Jesus is teaching us to pray, give us this day. This is why Jesus is saying, give us. I need to know what the promises are. I need to know the promises, believe the promises, and receive those promises. I need to know the promises that are the bread of life for me. You either ask with uncertainty, or you ask knowing what He's already provided and taking possession of it. Which do you think is the case that Jesus is teaching here? Most of us live our lives as though we think that Jesus is teaching us to ask with uncertainty. He's teaching us to ask with claiming, placing the claim in the authority of His name for what He's already done for us. Let me give you an example. If I called Zach and I said, Zach, I got a City on the Hill baseball cap for you. Come and get it. If I called him and I said that, who does the hat belong to? Belongs to Zach. Now, until Zach comes to get it, does it still belong to Zach? Yes, because I gave it to him. Does Zach possess it until he comes to get it? No. It's still his, but it's waiting to be possessed. It's just waiting to be possessed by him. So when Zach comes and he says, what's he going to say? He's going to say, can I have? It's an ask. He's going to say, can I have my baseball cap? It's an ask, but it's an ask that is coming not from uncertainty, not from not knowing, but it's an ask that's coming from the certainty that I gave it to him. It belongs to him already. He's just laying claim to what he has already. He's possessing what he already has. This is the way that when we're asking God for things, when the Bible tells us to ask, this is the way that He's telling us to ask. Here, possess that. See? Ask and you receive, just like Zach just asked me about that this morning. So guess what? Zach's going to get his already this morning. It's an ask that comes. When we ask that way, it's an ask that comes not from uncertainty, but it's an ask that comes knowing my bread of life promises, knowing what those bread of life promises are. There's one final verse I want us to look at. This is John chapter 15, verse number 7. As you're looking for that, let me ask you this. Do you believe the promises that God has for in His Word? I mean, if we believe them, if you believe them, the answer, whether you believe it or not, is evident. It's self-evident by the manner in which you ask God when you go. God's teaching us. Jesus is teaching us here in Matthew chapter 6. He's teaching us, give us. He's teaching us to say, give me. Let me lay hold of and possess that which you have already provided for me. All right, so John chapter 15, verse number 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Last week we saw that everything that we need for life, Jesus has already provided for us. All things that you need for life, Jesus has already provided for us. All we have to do is operate in the authority of His name. And in the authority of His name, we move, we speak, and we move those things which are already done in the spiritual realm, and in the authority of His name, we bring them from the spiritual realm here into the natural realm where we exist. But this is the question. Am I abiding in Him? Am I abiding in His Word? Am I consuming the Word and eating the Word every single day? This is important. This is what Jesus teaches us. That's why He specifically, in this one verse, simple verse, teaches us, give us say this. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what he says. Say, give us this day our daily bread. Am I abiding in the word, taking the bread of life, the word, into me? So Jesus has provided everything that I need for life. It's already provided for me through the promises of the word of God. I want those things. I want to receive those things, but I often overlook the first word in that verse. If. That word's important. Because for me to receive and possess that which is at the end of the verse, it shall be done for you, I have to first live the if. If you abide in me. If I'm abiding in his word, I am. It's his word. The more I get the word, his word into me, I am taking possession. I'm laying hold of those things that he has for me. Am I taking possession of him? Am I bringing him into my life? Am I eating the word and getting the word into me? If I am, then ask what you will, and it shall be done. If I'm getting the bread of life, if I have the word in me, then with boldness and with confidence, I can lay claim of all the things that are in the word of God, every promise that's there for me. I can say it's done. Done for me. It's done for me. I can claim that as I lay hold of and claim those bread of life promises for me and for my life. So when you leave here today and you go eat, when you sit down and eat at the restaurant, at Biagi's or what are the restaurants that I'd said, let that bread always just be a reminder. Again, this is the challenge that I would give you, because how important is it? No one ever taught me how to pray. All the years that I've been in ministry, nobody ever set me aside and taught me how to pray. And that's okay, because we're learning together as Jesus teaches us himself. He's teaching us together how to pray. It's only verses 9 through 13. It's not a lot that's there, but there's obviously a lot of truth that's there. But it's only verses 9 through 13. That means we need to take seriously each of those phrases and each of those sentences that he says. So today we've learned Jesus saying to us, say, give us this day our daily bread. It's the bread of life. It's the bread of life, and we ask, give us the bread. Give us the promises that are the bread. The bread is the word. Give us those promises. We're asking by laying claim of what he's already done for us. Amen? We all receive that? Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. Jesus, we thank you that your word is true. And I thank you, Lord, that again, as we leave today, first of all, I believe that we're all challenged to read the word more, to get more of the word into us. Let us remember to take your word with us wherever we go, to have your word somewhere nearby us that we can continue throughout the day to eat your word, to consume your word, and take it into our spiritual being for our spiritual strength, our spiritual life, and even for, ultimately, our physical life and well-being as well. We thank you for what you've taught us. And I thank you that as we contemplate and think about that word, that you continue to reveal new and more things to us. In your name, Jesus. For we give you the praise and the glory. It's in your name. Amen.